All right, well, the first reading this morning, we're going right back to the book of Genesis, chapter 28, which is on page 30 of the Church Bible. Jacob's dream at Bethel, starting at verse 16. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to the heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All people on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And for our reading from St. John's Gospel, and we turn to page 1064. In St. John chapter 1, Jesus' first disciple, verse 35. The next day, John was there again. That's John the Baptist. Next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one whom Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything come out good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. So Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. He then added, very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God. I don't often manage to get to comedy shows these days, but I do remember an occasion about 10 years ago-ish, where I was up in Edinburgh. It must have been more than that, actually. I think it was before I was married, but it was a while ago, and I was up in Edinburgh at the Fringe Festival. Has anyone been to the Fringe? Yeah, it's an amazing atmosphere, the whole thing. And we ended up going to this going to the show with my friend Chris, and we were quite late, and so the only seats were kind of near the front. So there we kind of went, and you know what it's like when you're in a situation like that. You're just a kind of nameless, faceless person in the crowd, and the person on the stage is doing the thing, and you're there kind of laughing along. Until the comedian picks you out. And unfortunately, on this occasion, I was right at the front, and he picked me out. And it didn't take him long to discover I was a vicar. And that was pretty much the next 10 minutes of his routine, kind of completely sorted for him. And I went from being a kind of faceless person in a big crowd to being an individual approached personally. Not in the most comfortable way, I have to say. It's easy to think of God or Jesus a bit like, our approach to God or Jesus a bit like that, isn't it? Like we are just a faceless, nameless person in the crowd. John's Gospel begins in very big terms. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, he is the light shining in the darkness. In him was life. And you think, well, that sounds fantastic, but it's very big. Very big. And am I just sitting, as it were, in this enormous crowd called humanity, just watching on as this happens? How does it connect with me personally? When John the Baptist, who we saw last week, announces Jesus, he also is very big picture. He says, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, of the world. But it's a very big thing. And that makes what we see next in John's Gospel extraordinary for just how ordinary it actually is. Because we see this eternal Word of God, the Son of God who existed before the creation of the world, spending an afternoon with five regular guys. I mean, really just regular kind of people. How will this Lamb of God take away the sin of the world? He's going to do it one individual at a time. As he meets personally with men and women like us. Okay, as it were, he calls you out of the crowd. You go from being just a faceless, nameless person in a big crowd to being called upon personally. Except not in a faint and humiliating kind of way, but in an ennobling, lifting kind of way. Your heart sings as he calls your name because you matter to him too. And so let's just work through the names that we see. Let me grab the clicker. Andrew says, Jesus, come spend time with me. Come spend time with me. Do you see that from verse 35? The next day, John the Baptist, he's there. He saw Jesus passing by. He said, look, the Lamb of God. And exactly what John was hoping would happen, happens. He loses his own followers and they go after Jesus. So verse 37, when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? That phrase, by the way, turning around, it kind of picks up from an Old Testament term that is often used of God turning towards his sinful people with compassion. Remember the famous blessing in Numbers chapter 6. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord turn to you and be gracious to you. Jesus turned to these two disciples. What do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went to where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard. Now, we don't know who the other disciple was, but let's just take Andrew for the time being. What is the invitation of Jesus? Come, and you will see. Come, and what does he do? Verse 39, they spent the day with him. In other words, Jesus, as by his spirit, alive today, how does he operate? He steps into a person's life and he says, come, spend time with me. Come and get to know me better. He invites us into a friendship, a relationship with him. I still remember my freshers week when I went to university, and I was very anxious, as I think lots of freshers are, about making friends and how that's all going to work out. And I had very recently become a Christian, just a few months before, and I've been encouraged to pray that God would give you a Christian friend when you arrive at university. So I prayed, and I still remember on my first day walking down the corridor and just kind of having a look in, you know, as you do in the room, the doors are open, and there are John and James. Sounds like something from the Bible, doesn't it? But this wasn't that John and James. It was just John and James, and they were having a chat, and they saw me peering in, and John says, come in. And John and James, it turns out, were Christian. I became friends with them, and it was a lovely answer to prayer. But come in. That's a lovely thing, isn't it? Come in and start a friendship. And that's what we did. We started a friendship. And that's what Jesus says to us when he calls us. He doesn't have a whole load of pre-requirements to that beginning that process of getting to know him. He doesn't say to Andrew, oh, first, can I just check that you believe the right things? He doesn't say, oh, can I just check that you're living the right kind of life? Because I don't want you to reflect badly on me. He just says, come. Get to know me. And that basic invitation of Jesus never changes. And he speaks it to us this morning. Come, spend some time with me. That's what he wants. He doesn't want he doesn't want your time. He doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your energy or your gifts. He just wants to spend time with you. He wants a relationship with you so that you can know him and he can know you. And isn't that the most wonderful thing? Andrew, come spend time with me. But then we get to Simon, an invitation. Simon, come. I've got a specific purpose for you. And so verse 40, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we found the Messiah, that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. What a great summary of what it means to be witnesses, by the way. Just to bring our friend to Jesus. That's what he does. But look how personal this is. I love this. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated, is Peter. That's not a normal kind of introduction, isn't it? I mean, when I introduce myself, I normally say, hi, I'm Sam. What's your name? Jesus doesn't say, hi, I'm Jesus. Who are you? He says, you are Simon. I already know you. I already know all about you. I know your fears, I know your struggles, I know your secret sins that no one else knows. You are Simon, son of John, I already know you. And I've got a future for you. You see what it says here? You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. And you'll see in the footnote there, that means rock. And Jesus is looking ahead to a particular role that Peter's going to have in the church. That Peter, through his faith in Jesus, becomes the rock on which the whole church is then built. He has that kind of leadership role. And Jesus, that's what happens when, through his spirit, he steps into an individual's life. He says, I already know you, and I've got a specific purpose for you in my kingdom as well. Isn't that an amazing thought? You've got a specific purpose for you. Right, when you trust in Jesus, he gives you new life. You were dead in your sin. You are brought to new life through your faith in Jesus. He completely renews you. And as that new person with his life at work in you, he sends you out to do something meaningful in this world for him. Whoever we are, that's what he does. Life is no longer going to be a confusing series of dead ends. It's going to be full of his purpose for you. Simon, come. I've got a specific purpose for you. And then there's Philip. Philip, come, follow me. See verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. He seeks him out and he issues this two-word invitation, follow me. And for Philip, it forces a decision, because as it says in verse 43, Jesus is about to leave. Right, he's going from down in the south in Judea, which is where the baptizing, you know, John and all the baptizing is happening. He's going to go back up north, which is where Jesus comes from, up to Galilee. Right, so for Philip, he has literally got a choice of follow Jesus or stay where I am. That's like a geographical decision for him. Am I going to stay where I am or am I going to follow Jesus? It's a choice. And that is the same choice that Jesus issues to all of us. When he comes by his spirit into our lives and says, come, we have a choice. Follow him or stay where I am. That's the basic choice in front of all of us. Do I follow Jesus with his forgiveness or do I stay where I am with my unforgiven sin? Do I follow Jesus with his resurrection, or do I stay where I am with no answer to death? Do I follow Jesus and his friendship, or stay where I am without any real idea of who I am, why I'm here, or who God is? Jesus says, follow me. We can either follow Jesus or just stay where I am. And actually, the same is true. Once we start following Jesus, it's exactly the same call. Come, follow me. Right? Follow Jesus into his life of radical generosity. Or stay where I am, enslaved to my money, in a culture that says you need more and more and more. Okay, follow Jesus or stay where you are. Follow Jesus and his radical, holy sexual ethic. Or stay where you are, following a culture in sexual chaos. Follow Jesus into a life of sacrificial commitment and love to others, or stay where you are, in a life that just revolves around you and your needs. No time for others, a friend, for a life group, the chat after church, or whatever it might be. Jesus says, that's the choice, right? Follow me, just like Philip, or stay where you are. Well, what about Nathaniel? Nathaniel's my favorite. Nathaniel, come, I already know you and have so much more to show you. It doesn't start very well with Nathaniel, does it? Let's be honest. So Philip, finds Nathaniel. He tells him, verse 45, "We found the one Moses wrote about." You could just imagine Philip, like, bright eyes, full of enthusiasm. And then Nathaniel is just so cool. And he just pours cold water all over Philip's enthusiasm. Verse 46, "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" This is spiritual eye rolling. Have you ever been guilty of eye rolling? There's a book on marriage called For Better, written by Tara Parker, and she says in that book, eye rolling is one of the great warning signs of a relationship in terminal decline. Okay, when you can no longer even have a proper conversation about something, but you just dismiss someone with a gesture of the eye. Some of you are thinking like, ha, okay. But it's true, isn't it? The eye roll, it basically says, what a load of rubbish. And that it's Nathaniel, he's doing a spiritual eye roll. Nazareth, really? And some of our friends are like that as well. You know, we talk about going to church or following Jesus. I'm like, Jesus, does anyone believe in Jesus these days? I mean, come on, it's like the 21st century. And I think Philip is a model for what to do when you are faced with spiritual eye roll. You see what he says? He just says, come and see. Okay, he resists the temptation to get all prickly and defensive, all kind of hurt. He's just open. Fine, just come and see. And Nathaniel's spiritual eye rolling is really turned around when he actually gets to know Jesus. That's the problem with spiritual eye rollers. Often it's in the absence of any actual engagement with Jesus, which is why you just need to stay calm when your friends respond like this. Because often when they get to know Jesus, they think, oh, it's different to how I thought. And that's what it's like for Nathanael, right? So do you see verse 47? When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there's no deceit. And it's great, isn't it? How do you know me? Nathanael asked. And Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. Now, we don't know what Nathanael was doing under the fig tree. The point is, Jesus does know. Clearly, it was something deeply significant for Nathanael. I don't know, maybe it was a conversation that he had, a decision that he finally made, a bit of news that he heard that was life-altering. Could have been anything. The point is that Nathanael thought it was just him under the fig tree. And now Jesus comes and says, I saw you under the fig tree. And it rocks Nathanael's world. And by the way, this is often how Jesus works. He starts by stepping into something deeply personal in a way that we didn't expect. And he speaks to us about something going on in our life. That's where it starts for Nathanael. And Nathanael is obviously like a fairly kind of, you know, front-footed kind of guy, because he swings to completely the other extreme, doesn't he? You're the Son of God. And Jesus just tempers his enthusiasm and says, look, you believe because I saw you under the fig tree. You'll see greater things than that. And then he refers to this first reading that we had in Genesis, when Jacob had this dream and he saw angels going up and down on a ladder into heaven. And Jesus says, very truly, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man, right? He's referring to himself. So he says, look, Philip, sure, Nathanael, sure, it's a big deal that I knew what was going on under the fig tree, but that there is more. You've got so much more to discover. As you get to know me better, you will begin to realize that I am the very gateway into heaven itself. Right, through my death on the cross, I will clear your debt. I will pay for your sins. I will open the way, and I will invite you to come into an eternal relationship with God the Father. Oh, Nathanael, it gets better and better. Okay, you think it's a big deal that I knew what was going on in your life, but it gets better and better. There's more and more for you to discover. Okay, the gospel, the good news, will connect with and resonate with more of your life than you could possibly imagine right now. So come follow me. I already know you, and I've got so much more for you. We had a few months ago a very moving confirmation service. There's a picture of it up here. We're back in Christchurch, and you see all these people getting confirmed. And in the confirmation service, which is like an affirmation of your faith, there is a line that goes like this: Ashley, John, Jesse, God has called you by name and made you his own. Confirm, O Lord, your servant with the Holy Spirit. God has called you by name. He calls you by name. He keeps calling you by name to come closer, further, deeper. Last week we saw that big instruction, look, the Lamb of God. But isn't it just wonderful that the gospel of Jesus turns look into come? It's not just us looking on, but an invitation to come. Andrew, come spend time with me. Simon, come, I've got a specific purpose for you. Philip, come follow me. Nathaniel, come, I already know you and have so much more for you. And you know, he keeps calling us by name. Andrew, come. Simon, come. Philip, come. Nathan, come. Debbie, Henry, Joe, Peter, Tim, Beth, John, Holly, James, Ed, Daisy, Adam, Mike, Sue, Jeff, Johnny, Charlotte, come. How is the Lamb of God going to take away the sins of the world? He's going to do it one person at a time as he steps into our lives by his Spirit and says, come. For some of us, he's already done that. But you feel, I've drifted, I'm drifting. And Jesus, in his grace, continues to say, come, come back. Others of us just can't believe that he would have a specific purpose for us. And we just always thought of ourselves as the nameless, faceless person in the crowd. And yet he says to you, come, follow me. He is the ever-approachable Savior, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But he does that one precious person at a time. Shall we pray? Our loving Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that there's no one like him. The eternal Word before the beginning of time, and yet he just comes into our world and calls us personally to be with him, to know him, and to follow him. And we pray, Lord, that we, having looked that Jesus would also now come and follow him. Amen.